Yes, good morning.
Yes, okay. David, what I'm going to tell you is factual. Okay? I only speak on facts. Now, I have a very good friend. After feeling ill, he went to the doctor. He had lost his sense of taste and smell. His doctor told him he needed to go and have a test done. He got in contact with COVID-19 personnel and the polyclinic at the Senate Act. They told him they don't have any transportation. He would have to catch the bus, right? He catched the bus and he went to the polyclinic. Yesterday, they called him and told him that his test is positive. This is what's paining me. I don't know. At that time, they did not know. Let's treat every test as a positive test. And this, because they had transportation, they invited him to catch the bus. He catched the bus and went to the polyclinic. No, after his test was finished, they said they don't have any transportation so that in order to take him back home. They asked him, in a subconscious mind, he said he can't even talk to his daughter, call his daughter, because she's at work, she has transportation. In a subconscious mind, he did that. Okay, they kept on saying they don't have any transportation. He said that the nurse looked at him and said, so what are you going to do? He said, well, you have to walk. And he walked 6 miles home. Four miles to his home. Well, he's on his way this morning to Harrison's Point. And what he went through was not the correct way to handle a case, right? I know they're overwhelmed, but I think that he shouldn't have to get in the bus to go to the polyclinic and no test positive. What about the people that are going to come in that sit in that bus after he gets out? What about them? That is not right. May I have your take on it?
Well, I agree with you 100%. Whatever the circumstances that are confronting the authorities, if we follow this particular line, you know what it is going to result in. And that is why people who are taking public transportation have to be exceedingly careful.
Yes.
You know, no matter what the authorities say, on the ground in this country, Barbadians are of the view that we have community spread.
Yes.
That's how we feel.
You have it, David.
All right. And as they said, you know, it may not square with their definition, but on the ground, there is a definition that we understand. And this is particularly dangerous. I mean, if they have no transportation, then remember, initially, we weren't having that as a problem. People who tested positive or who believed that they might have been positive would be picked up. But if you are now in a position where they have no transportation for circumstances like those, there is that potential. And part of it may well be that the number of cases that they have had over time have made it more challenging in that regard. Chances are that they may well have come to a position with the protocol that says, well, as long as you have not tested positive or you can't say conclusively that you have been exposed to somebody who has been a primary source, then you make your way to the polyclinic. But making your way to the polyclinic in this fashion has its dangers for other people as well. And I understand your concern about it. I quite a lot of people remember this too. Since 3 Saturdays or so ago, when there was a lot of concern about this matter, quite a number of people had to make their way to the polyclinic on their own. But they were in a similar situation. They weren't sure whether they were negative or positive.
He's positive today.
He's positive, and therefore...
He's on his way to Harrison's Point. As I speak, he's on his way down there.
So your suggestion would be that for all parties, all persons who are to go to the polyclinic, that transportation should be sent for them. That's your view.
I would suggest. I don't know how many vehicles they have. I don't know. But I wouldn't mind they having, let's just put aside like three, you say they send a bus for you to take you to Harrison's Point, transport board bus went for you this morning. get a designated something, a court, something that is properly sanitized, everything, and sent to take. He had to get in on a bus. Suppose who? Let's say he picked his nose or his eyes, and he touched the handrail, and I come in and I touch it, and I pick my nose. You see what I can spray? That's what going along. That's what got me scared. This whole is going to spread. Yeah. And they should have treated his case as a suspected case based off his conversation with the doctor.
Well, you know what it reinforces, though, ma'am?
What?
All the advice that we are getting about how we are supposed to handle these situations when we are on public transport and when we are in public spaces. Because you can never guarantee what has happened before you got into the bus. You don't know who else is in that bus who may be in a similar situation. You have so many Barbadians who are showing no symptoms but are testing positive. So that is why the strongest advice is for you and for others to actually wear the mask and wash your hands on a regular basis and keep your distance. Do you know whether he went and sat down beside somebody else?
I don't know if he sat down next to somebody, but he caught the bus.
You know how full the bus was?
No, you see, them is questions you should ask. Mike is still asking because he hasn't forgotten to tell you. I asked me questions and he made sure he answered me correctly, right? But no, with his host, do he have to coax them into sanitizing the house or they would do it, you know, voluntary?
Does he have to coax them into doing what?
He is in his house. He lives alone, right? He lives alone. His house has to be sanitized before he could back in that house, before anybody go in there. So I want to know how, if he would have to ask them, are they going to do it off their own?
I certainly am not in a position to answer the question.
Yeah, you're not. But
one of the people associated with that can send me some information to indicate, you know.
About that part. I asked him what he did with keys. He told me, but I said nobody's to go in there until that house has been thoroughly they deep clean it and sanitize it. So I want to know how they're going to go about that, if he will got to, you know, beg them to do it or they will come and do it off their own.
Well, I don't know.
Another thing, too. He works at a place that I believe, I don't know why they ain't do something. This thing got me mad somewhere that a lot of people pass through, that they, since he notified his immediate employer about what happened. You know, people still there working. TVs. People still out there working.
Well, this is potentially dangerous.
Bad.
Yeah. And this is your first-hand account. This isn't something that somebody else is just telling you.
That you could question me. This is factual. The people still there working?
Well, the COVID unit would have to explain what they have told the people who are in charge of that company. Because sometimes what can happen is
this company, this is trouble here. This one, I feel they're going to put a little something and cover it over. This one is trouble. Can I talk you offline just for a minute?
You could not a minute, but you can take my number and call me.
Yeah, I want to something.
And but you get my number from the producer. You can stay online and let the producer talk to you.
Yeah, I need to.
All right, you just stay there, and then I'll call you back and get more on this situation because rightly so, you don't want to put everything on air.
I
appreciate that. I also appreciate the fact that you are sufficiently alarmed by the procedure.
Yes,
that you would want to say that this is unacceptable and the authorities need to talk to us about these types of procedures and how we're going to deal with them. You know, this situation is really, really at the point where many people are very worried about it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, ma'am. Let's take another call. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Good morning.
Yeah, morning.
Good morning to you. I listened to the letter that you read concerning the Liat situation, and it's really heart-wrenching to hear what has happened with over 800 employees. And if I were to put myself in that situation, having worked for an organization for close to over 40 years, and at the end of it, you know, you're treated like how these employees have been treated, it could probably send you into a twister, because these people now are dependent on the four shareholder governments to tell them something more about their salaries, their severances, and all that sort of thing, and they're hearing nothing. And having been off for close to a year now, the families, and as the letter had said, bills to pay and, you know, all that sort of thing, it could be really heart-wrenching. And I would hope that, you know, the entities, the governments involved could meet and discuss this LEAD situation. LEAD has been an institution that served the Caribbean well over 50 years, and it is horrible to see that the employees could be left just scrambling out on their own. The LEAD is back in the air now, but we don't know for how long, and we know the situation with that is not looking very good at all either. So something has to be done. The leaders should sit down and sort things out and come to the rescue of these employees all through the Caribbean. All through the Caribbean, LEAD has been serving us too well for just this damage to happen, and nobody's coming up with any sort of repairs. Nobody is coming up with anything to appease the situation. And I feel it myself. If I were an employee of LEAD, I would be up in arms with the whole institution right now. So I hope that's when he's done with him. Now, I want to look here. I'm an avid sports person, and I know that athletics in particular have taken a beat from COVID. You know, on the local scene, there was no athletics here. No, at the stadium last year, for the Knapsack and BSAC, all those things were closed. And all the other private entities, all the sports arena, you know, had nothing to do at all with athletics because of the COVID situation. And it looks as though the same thing is going to happen again this year. We are facing COVID. But even before we had the COVID, the stadium was in a state. And we all who are involved in athletics and spectators and such like realize that. I looked at the newspaper yesterday, and I read this, the roundtable, a column that is usually produced by four journalists, and they were looking at the stadium, and they were asked this question, if they feel that the stadium track should be repaired, or if a new one should be installed, because the track is in a mess. And I had particularly to read a statement that was put up by the guy Kenmore Biner. He said, considering the state of the national stadium, repairing the track or installing a new one is tantamount to putting expensive rims and tires on a relic vehicle needing a ridiculously expensive engine to be functional. And I agree with him. We all know the state of the stadium. We all know the state of the track. And, you know, all the athletes and all the persons who train at the stadium don't have access to the stadium because the track is in a mess. And the stadium has not had a game at it, a regional game or international. We in Barbados have not seen no Carifta games at the stadium for many years now. No international persons can come here to train. And now we have the locals now being forbidden going to the stadium. So our athletics is in a mess. And I would hope that the government too, I mean, we call on government for almost everything, but it's the government's duty to be able to get a new stadium rather than a track. We want a track, but we need a stadium. And I hope that the government will be able to look at this. A lot of islands in the Caribbean now have new stadia, you know, St. Lucia, Grenada, St. Kitts. And we were ahead of those years ago, but they have come and gone past us now as far as the actual physical plant is concerned. And not only the plant, the actual athletics, they're going past us now as far as the sport is concerned. They're doing better times than our athletes and things. And I think it's because of lack of facilities. So I just want to raise that point, and I hope that the government will look at it and we can get a stadium soon. I hope that, you know, and the Chinese, we talk a lot about the Chinese. The Chinese have built the stadium in the Bahamas. I go to Carissa games every year outside of Barbados. And I'm just, you know, enthused by the stadium that I see outside, you know. And Jamaica, Bahamas, St. Kitts, Cayman Islands, all these people have got fantastic stadiums that encourages athletes to participate and run. But we this dilapidated thing here in Barbados, you know, just ain't got it. We just ain't have it, you know. So I just would like that government would put some thing and bring sports, bring athletics back to the fore and call in the Chinese government or some government to assist because we haven't got the money to do it and we need a stadium. And I would also like to think, too, that the stadium cannot be, if there's a new stadium, it cannot be kept the same place where it is. We've got to look at improving the outskirts of the stadium, build a new car park, high-rise buildings, you know, make a stadium that is responsible for cycling as well, and, you know, these things are going to be looked at. So that's just my contribution for today.
Well, you know, that everything comes back to the cost of doing it. I don't believe that we are in this situation because of a lack of desire. There's been a lack of money. And the last time I heard a discussion on this matter, I believe the government said that they had been approaching the Chinese to try to address the concern here, you know. But I certainly share your particular worry about it, and I hope that, you know, we will be able to see some improvement. I just heard that Jamaica has just refurbished their stadium in a major
right.
way.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, so.
Yeah, the Chinese are doing a lot of work.
Yes, definitely.
They're doing a lot of work in the athletic arena in the Caribbean. And we need to call on them, you know, if possible, to get us a new stadium as well, just like some of the other Caribbean nations. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Listen to these contributions here sent to me. This person says, I must share the experience of a friend of mine that's here from Canada. After initially being in quarantine for close to a week, she eventually got to enjoy her holiday. The writer goes on to say that last Thursday, she was tested at the Eunice Gibson Polyclinic, and that she was due to leave yesterday, Sunday the 17th. Up to 10 a.m. today, Monday, she didn't receive her results. Her airline is WestJet, and it flies only on Sundays. So, she has to spend another week here in Barbados. But that's not all. What's more frustrating was that a couple that was tested after her on Thursday at the same clinic received their results late Saturday night. Yesterday at the airport, there was a mother who was trying for the third week to return home. But on each occasion, the test results arrived too late. With tears in her daughter's eyes, they had to try to rebook for next week. The writer says that the late delivery of tests is one issue, but the inconsistency in returning results is worrying. A mother and her two daughters all tested together last Wednesday the 13th. The mother received her negative results on Saturday the 16th, while the daughters are yet to receive their results. There must be some explanation of why there are such glaring discrepancies. I understand why there may be delays, but tests done on the same day return days apart makes no sense. And this one. This morning, while traveling to work on a ZR van, I overheard a conversation between a passenger and the conductor. The young lady stated that she was off work on quarantine due to a possible COVID employee. The lady said she was vexed because she was feeling okay. Plus, her workplace had brought in employees who were on vacation, but had put her on quarantine. My question is, why would a person on quarantine be taking public transportation? This writer concludes, we are going to find ourselves in a very dire situation if we refuse to follow protocols. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Happy New Year. This is the first time I ever calling in.
Thank you. You sound very young, too.
Yes, I am.
How old are you?
21.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. My father listens to radio station every morning. So when he comes here on mornings, I hear everybody calling in. So I just say this morning, I would have called in. Because the most thing I mostly hear is about corona. So there's another year that we got to go through talking about corona, which it happened last year, stating, which everybody explained everything, what it is that you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be careful. You're supposed to wash your hands, wear your mask, hand sanitize your hands. So I don't feel that you're saying that you should call in from the radio station all the time, telling everybody which ain't no way is that they're supposed to do. I don't have no transportation, so I got a catch van. I have a little boy, he's 2 years old. So if I got to go to the supermarket or if I got to go to home, I will leave you home with my parents or with somebody and then do what it is I have to do. When I get on from the van, I just got my mask, I walk with hand sanitizer, walks not, try not to, you know, sit down, feel squeezed or whatever inside the van. But if it is a yacht on the van and somebody sit on next to me and like I hear that noise, you know, it's a van. I expect when I get in a van that somebody to sit on next to me, but not so close under me. But people is mad noise about it. And it's like, what you call, when they go to the supermarket too, they got to stand up inside the lane. Somebody got to stand up behind them. And not so close, but 6 feet apart, which it don't happen. They ain't going to the supermarket and stand up behind one another. Rather than go, they got to stand up. So as they get in the van, it's be a noise. Or they don't want to get inside the van. And everybody
so
on.
That you are seeing some measure of friction from time to time on the vehicle.
Yes, like them is just fret. Like them, they're just very hard to please. Very, very, very hard.
But what are they fretting
please.
About? They're fretting because they want to keep the distance. Isn't that what they're fretting
yes,
about?
Yes, but when they go certain places, it don't happen. And don't
but isn't that the protocol? No, but let's stop. Isn't that what we are advised to do, though, to make sure that we keep our distance, irrespective
yes,
of where you are.
Yes,
so because
but it won't happen.
Your argument is that in as much as you're going to the supermarket and you may be closer, that you need to sit down in a bus and accept that you are too closer than you should be to another passenger? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Even the transport board bus, as the transport board bus full, you want to get home. So is you aren't going to other.
So
choice.
Don't you see dangers in that?
Yeah.
Listen, if you listen to what has choice. Been said to us this morning, where this woman called and said someone she knows had to get on the bus and went to the polyclinic and tested positive.
And I was even studying that the other day. I was mm-hmm. like, so if it is that I have corona now and I have to go and get tested, if it is I have to get on the van, or somebody drop me, or somebody will come for me. Such as the same woman calling earlier, she was saying if it is that your house will get clean, or what it is that you're supposed to do, because I might go to the clinic now, and my family still home now. And I tell them that I just, because I know I have a feeling that something wrong with me, and I tell them, or I go on to the clinic, and when they get back now, then we'll either have to then get tested. And if they're okay or if something wrong with them now, like we can still be inside the same house. Then people in quarantine and leaving, I don't understand getting up on the bus. Even though if it is right or not, like you're supposed to be inside quarantine. That means that you're not supposed to leave, go outside, do nothing, just be inside the house.
You need to tell me how, as a 21-year-old mother, how this whole situation has changed your life, if at all. What are the things that you do, you don't do anymore, or has it made no difference at all?
My father got a shop, so and I renting me and my boyfriend and other people in say house is just four of us. So I ain't live far from my father, so I just walk across and walk somebody by the shop would just drop me back home. I don't know, I trying my best not to left home. It got cost less down the road, but it got cost less. I come back up, buy a few things, and that's it. I try my best not to leave home. I went to town Saturday because during mall they closed and I had to pay the bill. And I went to town and I walked through the back, went by the cell. I had to stand up in the line. Waiting wasn't a problem. I got patience. But an older lady, probably in her 40s, was making noise with the security guards. The man told her, Miss, I cannot let in because the people that was in the line was for whoever paying a bill or whoever want to talk to one of the people that working inside. It was the customer. And she started crying with the man, saying that she just want to get a, she want to write to a farm to get a Wi-Fi box. The man tells you, well, you have to get in sailing. So she, other children come now, making noise. And I was late, but the man tell wanna that when I got standing in sailing, I in sailing. When I get there, I never ask no questions if you got standing in the lane. I just make straight and stand in sailing. Because I know that is a lane. I can see that there's a lane, so I stand up in it. And she making noise, talking about she want to talk to the manager. And I was late. Seriously? You're here on the radio, you got standing in the lane, and you're making noise over foolishness. And then some people is calling and saying that young people disrespectful and this and that, but we could only get from parents, and everybody parent ain't perfect, and some parents got their own ways and how to deal with their children and how to raise them children, so ain't like everybody could be perfect. It got parents that is trying their best with their child, and it got some parents that don't. But at the end of the day,
you perhaps need to tell me, coming out of all that you are seeing, what difference is it making to how you are bringing up your child?